Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Glad to have you with us. I'm Cassidy, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Dibs.
Hi guys.
This week, we are taking a break from our usuals,
Marvel.
which is, it tends to be Marvel or like Assassin's Creed or something like that. And we thought we would review, I guess, the
Review is
2021 live action
one word.
Cinderella.
Yes.
It's a generous word. I don't know why we picked the. Actually, no, I do know why we picked this, but I won't say it just to be nice. But actually, the weird thing was, like, before watching it, I was actually kind of curious to see what this is going to be like. I don't know about you, but I always find, like, every time there's a new version or an adaptation of Cinderella, I'm like, how many ways can they botch this? And so I always kind of watch out of morbid curiosity. And I think that was part of the reason I attempted to watch this. And I only say attempted because, unfortunately for me, it was a real struggle to get through. But we'll get into all of that in a bit. I mean, I think we have a lot of opinions.
We do. Good.
But before we do, just our usual spoiler warning slash disclaimer, this movie isn't super recent, but it's recent enough. It's 2021, so if you haven't seen it, it's available, I think, on Prime exclusively.
Yep.
And of course, the other usual channels to get it if you don't have Prime. But yeah, it's available to stream on Prime, and yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
I mean,
But
okay, let's talk about this because Cinderella, that's, I don't think we need to talk about the story much because everyone knows the story. It's been told time and time again in animation, and there's so many live action adaptations for this. I think we even did a podcast episode on the 2015 version with Lily James, which again, and Richard Madden, which was good. It wasn't bad, it wasn't terrible. But I think I would attribute that to, I shouldn't say star power, because it's not that this movie doesn't have star power. It kind of does. But I think that movie had the advantage of Cate Blanchett. So
Yeah,
I'll
I mean,
give
it
it
had
that.
Cate Blanchett, but also I feel like that movie had the benefit of being one of the earliest live action adaptations, or at least like
Agreed.
of a Disney movie. Like it was like one of the first Disney live action adaptations. And since then, Disney has turned it into like this whole big, like commercial venture, and it's making a lot of money for them. And I think as viewers, a lot of us can recognize that it is a cash grab, but I think at least they're attempting to make a story that's engaging and is, it's, I think they're attempting to do the quality over quantity thing. Whether or not it succeeds, of course, is a different debate. And going into this, I was kind of hoping that Amazon was trying the same thing, but in watching it, and I hate to say this because I feel like I'm very easy to please, but watching this movie was like, it really felt like a soulless type thing where it was just like very flashy, very like bright. There was a lot of music and like there was all this stuff going on, but it didn't, I don't know, for it somehow to me, it felt like it lacked any magic, and it, I had to struggle to get through it. And that's in spite of, like you said, a pretty like big cast in terms of names. I mean, they have Idina Menzel, Pierce Brosnan, Minnie Driver, like they've got big name people. And I kind of feel like the movie just wasted all of them. Even
I
Camila
agree.
Cabello, like I don't know how much acting she's done before. This is the first thing I've seen her in, so I feel like the script didn't do her any it didn't do her any favors.
No, that's the thing, though. I want to talk about that because I think they tried to make it hip and modern, especially with the music that they chose for this, and the route they went with the princess story and everything, and even Cinderella's story. But we're gonna talk more about that, but if I felt like it didn't work because even Cinderella's story is simple. She's been mistreated by her step family, and she's trying to find an opportunity to just live her life this one time. And in that one opportunity, she meets someone that she thinks she can spend the rest of her life with, and someone who would keep her happy. And that's the story that we know. That's her fairy tale. But that's not the route that this takes. This takes a completely different approach. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's like a bunch of minor things that just kind of add up. And I think like alone, they're not really an issue, but the way the movie attempts to present these things and then utilize them or whatever, just it didn't work. Like there's this whole backstory with the stepmother. I think her name is Vivian or something. And it's revealed like very late. Like I want to say in the second half of the movie, it's revealed that she at one point had dreams and desires and hopes and all of that, and then it those got crushed, and so she just, I guess, became jaded and was like, okay, this is the way the world is, and anybody who was like me and anybody who has dreams and thinks that they can be something they're not is in for a rude awakening. So like that was, I think, supposed to be her motivation behind why she treated Cinderella the way she did. But also like for the whole movie, she kept flip-flopping, it seemed, like the way she treated her. Like she would be kind of nice, or as like nice as the role of the evil stepmother would allow. And then other times she would just be like, oh, you're worthless, and the only reason that you can do anything is because I took you in and I've given you a roof over your head and that sort of thing. And so like that part was very weird. And then they gave Cinderella like a, I don't want to say like a career dream or whatever, but that's kind of what it was. Like she wanted to be a dressmaker, which again was fine, but the movie just opens with like, okay, here's this girl named Ella and she's designing dresses because that's what she likes. And it's like, okay, but it felt very much like it was like tell and not show. And like I mean, like the motivation behind it, or like I don't know, somehow watching the movie, every time she's talking about like selling dresses, or she keeps saying stuff about how she wants to like open her own shop and all
A
of that. It,
business, yeah.
yeah, it just, it doesn't, I don't know. I never got the sense that like, I don't know quite how to phrase this. It was like, I guess I didn't, not that I didn't want to root for her, but I felt like I couldn't because like there was nothing there. Like there was no connection with the character, if that makes any sense.
No, I think I know what you mean because here's the thing, right? This story is supposed to be a fairy tale. There's supposed to be a magical element to it that's supposed to give it some charm. And if you put in modern concepts into a story like this, which is what I think they tried to do, it just takes that charm away. And I
Yeah,
think that's why you fail to root for the characters at this point.
I mean, I think, like, again, her having the desire to work or whatever is not the issue. I think obviously she wouldn't have been the only person in that time, and it's kind of silly for anybody to think that a woman shouldn't have those dreams or those hopes or whatever. But I think there was something about the way it was presented in the movie where it's like as soon as you meet her, she, like the first shot, she's like asleep amongst all these piles of dresses or whatever. And I think the thing that just didn't work was like they just immediately they're like, okay, this is Cinderella. She likes making dresses. And then it only ever comes up like once or twice at like random intervals, and it's like it felt like a way for the movie to remind viewers that, hey, she wants to be a dressmaker and open her own shop. But when the movie didn't need to remind us of that, that was kind of irrelevant and it didn't really do anything. It was just like a random plot point, if that makes any
Yeah,
sense.
no, I agree. And the whole, again, let's talk about Idina Menzel because, oh my God, she's amazing. She's a Broadway legend, right? Like, come on. And you get her to play this role, which, again, I'm not saying she doesn't have the range to do. I'm pretty sure she does. But I like you said, they underutilized her. And they underutilized Camila Cabello. And I also want to look at I want to talk about the royal family here for a second because they got Pierce Brosnan. And I think the prince in this version has a sister who wants to take the throne, and then the prince is more than happy to let her do it because he's more interested in supposedly leading a normal life.
Yeah, I mean, one, there's just so many weird things about the royal family, but the really odd thing I found was that there's one scene in the beginning when like the royal family is introduced, and the king says something to the effect of, "You have to grow up, and like you're gonna take the throne, and you need to like shape up and become a prince or whatever. Otherwise, I'll give the crown to your sister." He says something like, "Father, you know how much I've always wanted to be king." But then everything he does after that kind of proves that he doesn't want to be king. And it's just like, why would you, like, maybe they were going for like a growth arc or something where it's like he thinks he wants this, and over the course of the movie he said like he comes to realize that the
He
crown is
doesn't.
not what he wants. But I don't know that the movie did a very effective job of showing that. And I kind of was really annoyed by the sister's role, because she would pop up at random intervals and be like, "Is now a good time to say something?" And like something like she would just like talk about like things that would probably be pressing issues, but then every single time she would get dismissed. And it's like, I think I get what the movie was going for. It just got very annoying after like the second time, where she'd pop up and she'd be like, "Is now a good time to like talk about climate change and renewable energy or something?" And then the dad would be like, "No, go away." And it's like, oh my God, like it stopped being funny after the second time.
I
But that was her
definitely
only
agree.
role, to just like pop up and just kind of be, I guess, like comedic relief. And she would like say things, and then like nothing would happen because the dad would dismiss her at every turn. And like, I get it, he's clearly not up with the times or whatever, but I think there were more effective ways of showing that than like
Being a
that.
chauvinistic douche to your
Yeah, kind
daughter.
of. I mean, to everybody, let's be real, but yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. So much so that his wife is tired of him, and they have this whole arc with him trying to woo his wife again because she's tired of him. Like, I don't even
Yeah.
understand. Like, I mean,
The
what was
weird
that?
thing about this movie is that to me it felt like it was simultaneously so quick that like there was not enough time for them to accomplish the story that they wanted to tell, or that's what it felt like anyway. But also at the same time, it felt like the movie just dragged on and on and on. And I remember like pausing it, I think, after the ball scene and thinking like, okay, well, this must be like the tail end of the movie, because I mean, like you said, everybody's familiar with Cinderella, and it most adaptations follow like the same beats of like she
Same
goes to the ball,
pattern.
loses slipper, the prince goes looking for her, finds her, and then they live happily ever after. And so usually the ball is like, I guess,
The moment. It's a
once,
pivotal moment.
yeah, and like once you hit it, you're kind of at like the second half of the movie. But I remember pausing this movie, and there was still like a solid, I don't know, hour and a half, or it felt like an hour and a half left. And I was just like, really, what more could they do? Because like, how long can they show the prince looking for her and all of that? And yeah, I mean, the stuff about the royal family just didn't work. But as far as Idina Menzel goes, like, she's amazing. Like you said, she's a legend, and I can't believe they got her for this movie, and then it ended up being what it was. Because it's not that she couldn't play the evil stepmother, or that she didn't play it well. It's just I don't think the script did anybody really any favors, because like the characters were so like wishy-washy, if that makes any
Yeah,
sense. Like she was
no, I
kind of
agree.
nice 1 minute, and then like really mean the next. And it something about it didn't work. And I think it kind of goes back to, there was like this debate, I remember, I think when Disney released Cruella, about how people were talking about whether or not it would be a good move to make Cruella a sympathetic villain. And obviously this was before the movie came out, and so there was a lot of speculation and stuff. And I think that they kind of tried to do that sympathetic villain route with the stepmother, and I don't know that it worked. She's like,
No.
she's just the evil stepmother. Like, anybody who's putting a person to work the way Cinderella is in the fairy tales is, I don't really know how you can make that person come across as good.
I mean, not good, but well, I wouldn't say
I mean,
sympathetic even, but at least you understand their motivations. I think Cate Blanchett did a good job of that in the 2015 adaptation. That's what I think. But I'm biased because it's Cate Blanchett. That's just me.
yeah, no, I mean, I think she did too. And I think, to be fair, I think Idina Menzel did the best
Yeah.
with what she was given.
Yes,
I don't
yes.
think she was given a lot to work with, and
Agreed.
again, it was just very weird that like every now and then she'd be like, "Oh, like you'd be so much prettier if you smiled, Cinderella." And she was like acknowledging certain things about her, but then at other intervals she would just be kind of rude and just downright
Dismissive.
mean. And yeah, and it's just like, can you just pick one? Like, I don't know. And I guess maybe that might have been part of my issue with like characterization of the stepmother. It's that like there's no clear motivation, because it's not so much that like at least in this adaptation I thought it was kind of interesting, or it started off interesting, that she wasn't trying maybe as hard as some of the other stepmothers in other adaptations to have her daughters come out on top against Cinderella. She was just like, any of the three girls, as long as they marry well, we're good. And I do appreciate that the movie kind of took a different route, where it's like once a stepmother discovers that Cinderella has been at the ball and she danced with the prince, she's like, okay, now you have to marry him. Like, you're our ticket out of here. You can marry him and like we don't have to worry about our future and whatever. And then Cinderella's like, no,
But that's not what I
I
want.
yeah, like I appreciate that. That was different. And it would have been really interesting if the movie had, I think,
Set it up right, maybe,
No, that's a good way to put it. Like, if it had set it up right, and if it had gotten to that point in a more, I guess, natural way, or a way that felt more natural and felt more like, okay, this makes sense that like this woman wouldn't want Cinderella to do that. And like, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, maybe she would out of selfishness regardless, but it just felt very weird, where it's like you have one moment where she's like literally pulling on Cinderella's ear and telling her off for doing or not doing something, and then she like ruins her dress that she made and everything, and the next minute she's like, oh, but sweetie, you danced with the prince, you have to marry him, I'd be so happy if you married him. And it's just like, again, to me it just felt very weird, and I just kind of wanted her to either be really really mean, or just be kind of like aloof, I guess, and just like not really care what Cinderella did. But yeah, I don't know. There was just something about the way the movie wrote the stepmother, or care like made the stepmother come to life, that I feel like despite all of Idina Menzel's talent, I don't know that it did anything. And that's no like no
That's
disrespect to
not a
her,
mean
'cause
feat, unfortunately. I
yeah,
know
I don't
exactly what you
think.
mean.
I don't think like the stepmother, like you said before, I think at least in the 2015 version, like you kind of understood where the stepmother was coming from. And even if the script may not have been,
The greatest.
yeah, like you still understood stuff. This one, it's like one minute she like putting her daughters ahead of Cinderella, next minute she like, oh, my daughters are like, they're a lost cause, and I should just like give up on them, sort of thing. And it was very weird. So yeah, I'm always like watching the movie, like the more I got into the movie, the more surprised I was like, Idina Menzel signed up for this? Like,
I
obviously she
know,
wouldn't have known at
right?
the start, but it was like, this feels very weird. Like, this kind of seems like the type of thing that's like beneath her pay grade, but
Oh God,
that's
yes.
just me.
No, I agree with you because, dude, her performances in Wicked and her performance in Frozen. Granted, Frozen is animated, but Wicked, come on, Broadway legend, dude. Like,
Yeah, no,
come
I mean, she's
on.
amazing. And, like, to be fair, the music in this movie, like,
It's all right, but yeah, I
I
want to
mean,
talk about that. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
yeah, so one, I mean, I know I screamed about this, or not screamed, but I ranted to
We
you a lot
talked
about
about
this when I was
this.
watching. I found it so jarring that they use like modern songs in this, like Ed Sheeran and stuff, and I don't know why, because this is not the first movie that's done that, but I think using it in such a like classic type tale, just it felt really weird, so that kind of threw me off. But like the actual like performances were good, even if I didn't really care for like the use of modern music in this movie. But it just, I don't know, it
It
just
throws
felt
you
very
off.
weird.
No, it throws you
Yeah,
off. It
and I don't want to sound rude, but it also felt like at times there were certain numbers that like they would do, and then it would it sounded like they were trying really hard to make it sound like Hamilton or like some other really big, like cultural phenomenon type thing. And I was like, I don't know if that movie, like if the movie needs to go that hard. But that, again,
No.
that was just me. I did find the music, like the choices were very weird, in my opinion.
Yes,
The actual like
yes.
performances of the songs or whatever, I didn't really have an issue with. Other than like, I guess, again, it was very weird to like see certain songs or like hear certain songs in certain scenes. And
Yeah,
I don't
what was
know.
with the somebody to love version in this? Like, what? I did not understand that. Why?
That one kind of bothered me because it, like, the song started and I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't, it's not the best. Obviously, it's like, it's not Anne Hathaway's rendition. But it's not like, it wasn't the worst I've heard either. But like, it, the song goes and then at the end, like, that's the first time the prince sees Cinderella. And then, like, 5 minutes later, after starting the song, he finishes the song. There's like a section where he's just like silent, and then he just sings like the last two, three words. And it's like,
Verse.
you did not need to wait that long.
Yeah, that's speaking of Anne Hathaway, because I think I don't know how much more we can rant about this particular movie, but I do want to talk about ask you which your what your favorite version of live action Cinderella is. I know mine.
If we're counting like just straight up like Cinderella like adaptations, did you say favorite live action version?
Yeah.
Probably I would, I guess. I would say the 2015 one, or I've only seen it once a very long time ago, but it was, I think it's the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella with Brandy as Cinderella. That one was really good, but I've only seen it once and I would love to see it again. It's just been such a long time.
What
But
if it's not the classic Cinderella tale?
if it's not the classic, then Ella Enchanted. It
Yes!
has to be Ella Enchanted.
Yes!
I mean, come on,
Because
Anne
come on, Anne
Hathaway.
Hathaway and Hugh
Minnie
Dancy, like,
Driver
come
was in
on.
that too. Minnie Driver was also in that. I think.
I
I'm
can't
pretty sure she was in
remember.
it, but she was what's her name, the friend, oh God, I'm blanking on the name.
So am
But
I.
yeah, I mean, that's a classic, and like that's the type of movie where it's
That's a
like,
good spin on the tail, right?
yeah.
Because it's
And like, to
different.
be fair, like they're, I don't know if you've ever seen like those, I think they're like straight to TV movies, like the other adaptation of Cinderella, where it's like a Cinderella story, and there's like another Cinderella story, and
Oh,
there's like
yeah.
another Cinderella story.
Oh, my
Those
God.
were
I've
all
seen so
kind of
many
like
of them.
eh,
Yeah. Oh, my
at
God.
best, yeah. But like a lot of them still did enough that like I could watch, and I was like, all right, this is
This
like,
is fine. A one-time watch, it's fine, kind of thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
like whatever, it's okay. But like, this one, I was just watching it and I was like, what? Like, there's so many weird things. Like the whole transformation scene where like the mice get transformed into people was very weird. And I always kind of
James
like,
Corden, like, why?
yeah, I
He
mean,
in this
okay, I
or
don't
well,
really
I think he was
care,
in this.
like he was in this, but like I don't really have an issue with him being cast as like a mouse, I guess. I don't really know enough about him to know like why people love him or hate him. But
Oh, different
it
reasons.
was it was more just that like when they got turned into humans, they just made like really crass jokes, and then
Oh,
whatever
God,
other
yeah.
jokes they made, it was like, it just wasn't funny. Like they were
No.
clapping and they were like, oh my God, we make sounds. Humans are so loud. And it's like, I mean, yeah, but like it wasn't funny. And then I hate to say this, but I feel like the ball, it took away from like when they did the ball in this movie, it didn't have the same magic that like the event had in other movies,
Oh,
including like
yes.
the like cheap straight to TV movies. Like there was just something about it. Like they had a dance number, they had all these girls dancing and like the prince guy like singing or whatever, but it didn't quite have the same effect as like, or like the same grandeur or whatever as like the animated version or like the
Yeah.
2015 version or like Even
I love how in that version, the prince is like, trust me, they're all looking at you. And that's nice, you know? It's like, it's a, I mean, call me cheesy for saying that, but that's kind of sweet, you know? That's like, the way he's like, they're all staring at, they're all staring at you. But Cinderella says they're probably staring at you. He's like, no, trust me, they're all looking at you. And that was kind of nice.
Also, I just call me mean for saying this. I don't really know if this is if it is mean. I just felt like it was kind of dumb. But the idea that when the fairy godmother, like, okay, I can appreciate that the fairy godmother was like hatched or grown or whatever. That was different. Like, that's fine. But the whole concept that her dress is magic and that nobody will recognize her because she's wearing the dress and like somehow just magically, because she's in this new fancy outfit, only the prince will know who she is. That just felt very weird and very much like it to me. It felt like the movie was planned, and then they got to the ball scene, and then somebody realized, oh snap, we didn't figure out how she'd be at the ball without being recognized, and they just kind of used like lazy writing to like explain it away. And I feel mean for saying that because I'm not a writer and I couldn't do what anybody, like even people who write movies that I don't like do, but still, it just felt like it was lazy writing and just a weird kind of plot device just to get her to the ball and have her be there so that only the prince would recognize her and nobody else would.
I think, like I said, it takes away that suspension of disbelief or the magic that you think the story should have. This kind of story should have, and that I feel like that would take away from that kind of takes away from, let's say, our enjoyment of this story, regardless of how many ever times we watched this before. Like this story, not this movie, the story, because holy shit, I can only manage to watch this movie once. I will
Yeah,
fully
it's short
admit
and
that I watched this movie on a long haul flight back because I couldn't fall asleep. So I'll even be honest with you about that, because
Yeah, it's a bit of an ask to watch it twice, in my opinion. I think I was in like the same boat where I tried watching it once and I fell off like I don't know, maybe 20, 25 minutes in, and then I watched it again, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a couple hours of my life I'm not getting back. And I feel really mean for saying that because obviously a lot of work goes into making any movie, no matter how well or how poorly it's received. But it just, I don't know if it was like a thing because this came out around the time of the pandemic or if that had any impact on it. I don't really know what, but just something about this movie to me felt like, despite all the colors and like the music and like the brightness and whatnot, it just felt very soulless and like,
It fell flat.
yeah. So, I don't know, just something about it. I wasn't really a fan of, and I mean, like, there's, I think again, like you said, most people know the plot of Cinderella, and I think it is kind of simple, but it works. And when you try and change too much, then it just, I think it becomes like,
Something
it just kind
else.
of, yeah, it just like devolves into like this mess. And I feel like they tried to pull off too much. And I mean, I don't know. Like I still don't understand what the point of like having like an arc between the parents, like the king and queen was, because they're just there. And I don't really know that they serve any purpose, like to Cinderella's story anyway. But yeah, I guess maybe they just wanted to go for something different. They wanted to try something different. And yeah.
So I think you make a very good point here, because I wouldn't say that doing something different is a bad thing, but when you ch what but for a classic story like this, when you try to change too many elements of it, you're right in saying that it loses something and it becomes something else that it's not supposed to be. At least that's At least that's what you and I found with this story. And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't think there's much else to say about this movie. So we're keeping this short, guys. We're keeping this short for this episode because we don't want to put this out into the universe that we hate this, because we don't exactly hate it, but it's not something we particularly enjoyed either. However, we are going to do something super cool next week because I recently got into this because of Cass, and I am super happy that I did. So Cass, take it away. Tell us what we're going to do next week because, oh my God, this is super exciting. Let's talk about that.
Yes, I am very excited. I don't know if any critters listen to the podcast, but I fell into the Critical Role fandom or rabbit hole, really, like during the pandemic. And oh my God, it sucked me in. And so I have been bugging Divs nonstop about watching Critical Role. And we finally got around to watching, or well, I finally convinced her to watch The Legend of Vox Machina.
Oh
So
God,
next week, I
yes.
am super excited because we are going to dive into the animated show and the roller coaster, and I mean that in the best way, that that show is. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot because it's like my new obsession. It's all I can think about, and
It's
Div
really
knows because it's
cool.
like
No, it's
it's a really cool setup. And I think, I don't know about you or even any other listeners, but I tend to gravitate towards like these really like big worlds, if that makes sense. Like where there's like a
fantasy
lot of
worlds,
like,
fantastical worlds. Yeah, I know what you
yeah,
mean.
and like worlds just have a ton of stories and like potential from them, even if like they're just getting started. And like, you know, that's I think what drew me to a lot of like the franchises that we've covered on this podcast, like Percy Jackson and like the Assassin's Creed franchise and like Tomb Raider and, you know, She-Ra and things like
Oh
that.
God.
So
We haven't covered Tierra, but damn it, yes.
we haven't, but I think we've said it often enough on the podcast, and I think
Oh
people
God,
probably
no, I
understand
agree.
why.
Yes.
We haven't because we love it so much that I think if we started talking about it, we would not shut up, and it would
You
be
wouldn't
like
shut
an
up.
8-hour episode, and it would cover like one episode of the show, and it'd be like one of those
Unfortunately,
things where like fast forward to like 2035, and in some corner, Divs and Cassidy are still talking about She-Ra.
No, I agree. In particular, Catradora. So, anyway,
Yeah, but no, I mean, well, we're hoping to get to that soon. But no, The Legend of Vox Machina was such a good show, and I'm so excited to talk about it next week, just because I have been bugging Divs nonstop
No, I
about
it's
this
not
show.
that I so here's the thing. The only reason it took me this long to watch it was because of its rating and the violence in it. That's my only squick with it. And thankfully, I found out that I could deal with it because it's animated and not live action. So I ended up finishing the first two seasons, and I cannot wait for season three, and we'll talk about all of that next week. And I could not be more excited because definitely love this show. And again, if we start talking about the characters, we will not stop because there's so many comparisons to be made and so many cool things to be said. So, if you've stuck around for our raving and ranting on this version of Cinderella, please stick around next week because we're going to be doing something completely different. I think. Again, this is based off of lots of D&D campaigns, which is like I'm super excited about. So we'll also talk about that too, because this is like a different thing altogether. So I'm super excited for that. So thanks, guys. Stick around next week. We will be talking about The Legend of Vox Machina. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. As always, our lovely theme song is Water Lily by the 126ers. The Nerdy Podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and you can follow us online at nerdy-podcasts.tumblr.com or at nerdypodcasts.wordpress.com.